the Missouri State Journal, a weekly program keeping you in touch with Missouri State University.
The Baker Observatory is one of the facilities associated with the astronomy program at Missouri State University, and it often hosts public observation nights. Recently, researchers were able to see a Jupiter-like planet passing in front of its star at the Baker Observatory. Dr. Michael Reed, professor in the program, is here today to explain this exoplanet phenomenon. Two students, Heather Foster and Amanda Winans, are here also to explain some of their current research, being funded through the Missouri Space Grant Consortium, funded by NASA.
An exoplanet transit is when a planet passes in front of a star, and so it's orbiting that star. When it passes in front, it dims the light by just a little bit, and we can measure that. That's how most planets have been detected around other stars, and we've done some of those out at Missouri State's Baker Observatory. That was the first transit that we have observed at Baker Observatory. So we have been observing extrasolar planets, but not at the phase of their orbit where they've gone in front of their star. So that was the first one we actually got that way. We've been trying for a year, but that was the first one where the timing worked out right.
For the past 25 years, NASA has funded the Missouri Space Grant Consortium to ensure a scientific workforce in the future. Most of the funding is appropriated toward student internships or graduate student fellowships, knowing that in most fields, hands-on research is invaluable. Amanda Winans explains about her current research project, which involves this exoplanet transit.
So I help with the observations out of Baker Observatory, and I also reduce and analyze the data that we take at Baker. So most of what I do involves sitting in front of the computer and taking out the extra effects from the telescope and from the atmosphere, and then looking at the brightnesses of those stars and seeing if we can see how those are changing. I'm still on the first little bit of data. The first one takes the longest just because you have to figure out, like, comparison stars so that you can see the different changes from night to night. So it takes a little bit longer. But once you figure out that first night, it'll be a lot easier to get through the rest of the data.
Meanwhile, Heather Foster's research is based off of data originally collected for exoplanet research, but she is using it to study sub-dwarf B pulsating stars. She explains more.
Rather than using Baker Observatory's facilities, I borrow data from the Kepler spacecraft, which is meant to be looking for the exoplanets that we discussed earlier, but my research is kind of piggybacking off of that. And instead, I'm looking at a sub-dwarf B pulsating star, which is a very small, very hot star with the plasma on the surface sort of sloshing back and forth, changing its brightness. So we can examine the brightness of these stars over time, look at the sort of sinusoidal look to this curve, and from that determine how often that material sloshes back and forth. It has a very regular period to it. And from that period, we can determine very real, very physical things about the star, like its size, the kind of composition it has, whether the layers of its material is stratified or not.
Both students have had multiple opportunities to expand their knowledge base in the sciences and visit international astronomy conferences and visit national observatories. Winans talks about her experience at NASA Glenn.
In August, we got to go to NASA Glenn with our entire research group, with the observers, which is the part of the group that I'm with, as well as the experimental group, which is attempting to recreate these hot exoplanets by baking them in the lab, and also the theorists who are looking at what we might expect to see. And we all got together at NASA Glenn in Cleveland, Ohio, and so that gave us a chance to kind of present what we've done so far on the project, as well as make plans for what we're doing in the future. And we also got to tour their facilities, which they like to show off, so that was fun.
In May of 2013, Foster went to Kitt Peak Observatory to continue her research, and she explains how looking at the stars through such massive instruments could be such a daunting experience.
I went to Kitt Peak National Observatory along with our coworker from Poland, Andy, and we spent 5 nights on the mountain observing one of these pulsators and watching it. It's honestly a little bit intimidating because this telescope that we worked on was 2.1 meters in diameter. So this is a pretty massive and frightening tool to use, and all of it is powered from a control room. You don't touch the actual telescope itself. There's this monstrosity, this several computer screens, all of these boards, these paddles to move things around, and all of it's in your hands, and it's a little frightening.
In early 2012, the Grindstaff Tricolor Camera, or GTCAM, was developed on the Missouri State University campus. It's only the fourth such instrument in the world, and it was designed to further seismology research. This variation was available at Kitt Peak, Foster noted.
The camera that we attached to the telescope we used at Kitt Peak was a device of our own creation that we call the GTCAM, which is a device that takes in light, splits it into three different beams based on the wavelength of the color, the light that's coming in, and sends it to three separate CCDs.
That was Dr. Michael Reed, Heather Foster, and Amanda Winans from the Astronomy Program at Missouri State University. I'm Nikki Donaldson for the Missouri State Journal.
For more information, contact the Office of University Communications at 417-836-6397. The Missouri State Journal is available online at ksmu.org.